We are on page 140. Finally got these bifocal type glasses. They told me you have to read like this. It just doesn't, I'm not used to it. So. And we're up to 140 in the Maamar HaRavi, where the Chavar is responding to the Melech regarding the knowledge of astronomy, which is found in the Gemara. And he explains to him, essentially, that that the Chachmei Yisrael had a lot of astronomical knowledge, not for the sake of that knowledge, but for the sake of being able to establish both the Meilid and the Tkufas, the winter season, the winter, spring, fall, and summer seasons. Now, we're up to, on page 140, we're actually almost in mid-sentence, let's start from the top line. Lo yushlam birur halichos hayareach v'schalfos halichosai levar eses chabriyim ha-shemesh v'ha-meilad. One cannot calculate the time of the meilad when the moon and sun come together. I'm sorry, we're in the middle of, towards the end of Chav Tes. In the time that the moon is hidden before the Maila and after, unless one really knows. And I mentioned this to you in the past that although the Mailid, we call it a set time of 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes and a chalik, it's really not, that's the average. It's really not always identical because the moon doesn't travel around the earth in a perfect circle. For that reason, there's a variation in the Mailid every month. And so too, knowing the solar year, which is based on four seasons, Arba. Now, the four seasons are not arbitrary. When we say that, tell you on the radio, that fall began or spring began, etc., it's not an arbitrary thing. It's an astronomical fact. The earth is tilted. As it goes around the sun, there are two times the year that the tilt is perfectly straight. As it grows with its tilt, the tilt on this side, the northern hemisphere is tilted away. On this side, northern hemisphere is tilted towards the sun. And as it goes around, it reaches a, what we call the equinox. The equinox is the beginning of the fall and spring, seasons. And it reaches the solstice, which is the extreme of the winter and summer. Now, Yediyas at Kufis Arba al Biru, Lay Sushlam, Elab Yediyas, Hashofel Raim, Vagavaya Raim, Valias al Eschafo. Now, I want to explain this to you. In a world where we understand that Earth goes around the sun, as we understand today, and we're pretty positive that that's the way it is, although it's technically possible that it's not that way, but we're pretty positive that's the way it is, that the Earth goes around the sun. Having the earth go around the sun, it's not as difficult to make all the calculations that we make. In a world where they understood that the sun went around the earth, it was much more difficult to calculate all of these things. Calculations were made by observation, and since they were made by observation, the observation led to, out of necessity, to certain very radical ways of calculating. And that's what the diagrams are about on the bottom of the page. Also have it. I'd like to explain to you the following. Let's just talk about the sun and the moon. Everyone knows that the sun comes up on that side of the shul. Every morning you go, you look outside, you see the sun comes up, you know it sets on that side. Same thing with the moon. Now we wouldn't know anything about the moon except Baruch Hashem. We say Kiddush Levana once a month. So we know that the moon also rises the same exact side, and sets on the same side. Now, if you were to assume that we're in the middle, and let's say you were to imagine a train going in a circle around me. You set up a model train, a choo-choo train, and it's going around me, and that's the sun. Every day, it's a 24-hour rotation, and for 12 hours, it's down under the table, and 12 hours, it's above the table, it's going around. Now, in that same place, the moon is also running. Now, the moon falls behind the sun every single day a little more. Let's say you were to go out every night. Let's say you walk out of the shul every night at 9:35, at 9:40, and you look for the moon. You learn a lot. If you do it every night for a month or two, you will learn a lot about the way the moon travels. Because you'll see that one night when you go out, let's say Matzah Shabbos, Kiddush Levana, you go out, if it's very close to the beginning of the Hebrew month, you'll see the moon trailing very close behind the sun. As moonset is briefly after sunset. You got a day later, it'll be 45 minutes behind. 2 days later, it'll be an hour and a half behind. Every day, the moon in that on that choo-choo train, what you have to imagine is that there's a train traveling around, and on the train, there's a man who's running in the opposite direction of the train. So imagine you have this big train. The train is as big as the whole circle. It's running around me. That train is the sun's rotation. On it, you have a man who's running on the train, like in the old movies, remember? And they're fighting with each other. So there, I say the old movies, maybe the new movies have it too, but I wouldn't know. But anyway, and they're on the train. The train is going this way, but these men are running this way. They're running on top of the train this way. So really, as the train goes around, they are falling behind in the rotation. That's basically what happens to the moon as it goes around this circle. So in the ancient world, you had to picture it something like that. And the moon and the sun is relatively simple. Now, when you have, let's say, Mars, very, very confusing. Why? We know the sun's in the middle. The Earth goes around, and Mars goes around. Now, sometimes Mars is slightly behind us, but the Earth's year is only 365 days. The year of Mars might be 560 days. So as we go, Mars falls behind. Now what happens eventually is that Mars is on the other side of the sun. Now really that doesn't make sense if the Earth is in the middle.
It's, what the Ryan's
it's going the other way.
Copernicus brought this as a
riot. So this is what they had to do before Copernicus is they had to calculate that Mars has two rotations. It goes in circles as it goes around in order for the calculations to work. Now, we know today it's not that way. But the amazing mathematical accuracy with which they made such calculations, were able to predict all these things, was chachmachsem ubinaschem la'inehaim. It was something which required extraordinary mathematical skill to create mathematical equations which can predict where all of these planets would be, where the moon would be, where the planets would be. The moon is easy. It falls 45 minutes behind every day. Why 45 minutes? Very simple, because in 30 days it falls behind a full rotation. 24 hours, 30 days, averages out to 45 minutes a day, so it's very easy to figure. But the other planets are really much more difficult. And therefore, it was an amazing feat to be able to discover exactly what's taking place. Now, I've been asked if I can prove that it's not true that the sun goes around the earth and maybe the earth is in the middle and everything else goes around it. So the truth is, it can be proven if you accept the distance to the various stars. In other words, rockets have been sent out. We know Pluto is a certain distance away. Eventually, if you hold the Earth as in the middle, and let's say the Big Dipper is traveling, is traveling around the Earth every 24 hours, that would mean that it's traveling faster than the speed of light. Because if you put Earth in the middle and you calculate a billion miles, and that star is going, making a full rotation around the Earth, that means it's traveling 3 billion miles in 24 hours. And that's faster than the speed of light. And we understand things can go faster than the speed of light. So that's pretty provable if you accept the distances, which we seem to have to accept, the Earth can't be in the middle. So that was Copernicus. What? That's also true. But we are getting the light. It's not if it's faster than the speed of light, we'll be getting the light either. It's true. So my point is, the point that he's making is that when Chazal were able to predict all of the things that took place in the heavens, it required an extraordinary amount of knowledge and calculation in order to do that. And that's what he is saying. He's saying since all of Jewish law is based on the planet, planetary motion, on the moon, the suns, and to a certain degree on the constellations. Therefore, it had to be an extraordinary amount of knowledge they had. You can't calculate the heavens unless you know the stars, the galgalim, the different spheres. That which is known in the wisdom of nature, is something that came into their calculations incidentally. Now here, I happen to mention this Matzah Shabbos, the difference of opinion as to whether the study of the secular sciences is worthwhile if it doesn't affect Torah. The Kuzari is of the opinion that it's not worthwhile, that the study of the secular sciences is only worthwhile to the degree that it affects the Torah. He says, therefore, was nigrar b'sech devrei b'derech mikra. Once they had to calculate the seasons for halacha, they had to calculate the mailut for halacha, it was nigrar, it was dragged along b'derech mikra, the other studies, lo b'kavona l'umayda chachmahi plias utmias. Not to learn the incredible secrets of nature outside of that. And therefore, you have to understand that they had in their wisdom, in their svarim, from this wisdom. Now here, what? Of course they did. Until Copernicus, that was the understanding, was that with the earth, everything could come out okay, except for this one proof I told you about traveling faster than the speed of light. And you can't, otherwise you can't prove the earth is in the middle. The only proof is that nature is orderly. We know that if Hashem created an orderly nature, nature is predictable and orderly, it makes sense. To have the sun in the middle makes sense. Everything fits in a nice, neat calculation. To have the earth in the middle, everything is complicated. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is created with wisdom. Kulam b'chachma asisa. It's created with wisdom. Now, I want to tell you something historical, that Copernicus's discovery was the end of religious life for the whole Christian world. Really, what happened is it wasn't really even Copernicus. Copernicus, during his lifetime, his studies were not accepted. It was later, in the time of Galileo, where Copernicus' discovery were confirmed, and the world accepted that the sun is in the middle. At that point, the church said it couldn't be. It wasn't true. It was heresy. Galileo had to recant. He recanted all of his discoveries, despite the fact they were true. But the church fought a battle for centuries to say that it's not true. And they drew a line in the sand and they lost. And really, everything happened, the Reformation and the whole movement away from religion in the world was a direct result of Copernicus's discovery. And not even that, it was the church's rejection of it. There were Chachmei Yisrael in the beginning who rejected it, but for the most part, Chachmei Yisrael did not said it could go either way. In other words, Chassam Sefer wrote a book explaining that there's nothing wrong with Copernicus's discovery. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, if they're initially doubting it, that it could go either way. And with the exception of Rabbi Edison Eifshitz, who rejected Copernicus in the early stages, the Chachmei Yisrael said it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And Oretz, they said, as the Lashon Rots, the earth runs. The idea that the earth is stationary is not mukhrach to us, because Oretz is Orutz, the earth does move. And that was accepted. And nevertheless, what had happened took place. In one of Revolbi's letters, he writes, Copernicus hafacha olam al roshei, turned the world upside down. He made a tremendous tumult, because there's no reason to make doctrine out of something that's not. At any rate,
we say that our scientific knowledge is revealed.
What?
We say that our scientific knowledge is also revealed.
Therefore what?
That they They were working with the correct info.
Who was working? They were working with the correct, 100%. The Rambam writes at the end of his descriptions of astronomy, at the end of Kiddush HaChodesh, he writes, everything I've written here comes from the Greeks. It's not a Messiah. Nevertheless, the Rambam holds it to be true. The Rambam held that the earth is in the middle and the sun goes around. And it's the only place in the whole Yad that the Rambam writes that this does not come from the Messiah. This comes from the Greeks. And they're right. Which is wonderful, because here you have the Rambam writing 300 years before Copernicus, he's writing that this does not come from Chochmas HaTorah. Little did Rambam know that later it would be very nice that he wrote that. Because if he would have written that we have a Messiah, so we would have a problem. We have no such Messiah. So this is the basic point. The Kuzari was written before Copernicus. The Kuzari was written when the Chachma of the celestial bodies was still going with the Greeks, and it required extraordinary calculations to predict what would happen and when it would happen. And really, that's what he's writing about. Now, the Kuzari asks, Amar Kuzari in Lamed, Eich Ovdu Hasvarim Ha'em Shoyu B'Kavana V'Nishu Elu Shem B'Mikra. He says, why is it that the science books of the Chachmei Yisrael of the previous generations we don't have? The Rambam says we don't have any of them. And Shehem B'Mikra, what does Mikra mean? Mikra means, in the Gemara, where incidentally it mentions astronomy, we have astronomy. So every once in a while we come to an astronomical Gemara in the Gemara. When I was in Art Scroll, and I participated in the writing of Erevin, so there's one place on Daf, I think it's Daf Nun Dalid, where there's a Gemara that deals with astronomy. And they, more than me, I wrote it with Rabelsky's help. They, before they would publish it, sent it to a professor of astronomy, who happens to be a religious Jew, for review. Because it just takes a lot to take a Gemara which mentions astronomy incidentally and to really make sure that it fits with everything on all points. So what remains to us from Chachmei Yisrael is B'mikra, is incidental, and not the primary. We have no book on the study of astronomy. And for that, the Chavar answers, just on the beginning of his answer in Lamed Aleph, Omer Achav, Nishasfarim Ahayim, Hayyadun, Isa Yechidim Ibn Adam. The Sfarim that dealt with the astronomy was known to only individuals. Yikra Zeh, Chayze, Vizeh Raifa. Call one Chayze, an astronomer. One a doctor, one minateach, one a surgeon. Adar Chadim, for example. The specialties are known to only individuals. Utchilas misha avad meha uma ha'avuda ina melach shum shabem. When Chai Yisrael went to Galus, what was lost first was the knowledge that was limited to the chashuvim shabem, to the elite. Vachre ke mishlamata vehem. Vavdo yechidim vavdo chachmasam. The individuals were lost. The wisdom was lost. Remain to Klal Yisrael and our Golus are the books of Torah that everybody has to study. The Gemaras, the Chumash, nishmar. So the parts of astronomy that are in the Gemara remain. Because of somebody who studied the Gemara, that's why it remained. Okay, now he goes into medicine, and we'll do that in Mitzvah on Thursday. I hope Thursday we'll finish the Maimar Harvi, if we can. Maybe it'll take till Monday. And we'll complete the Maimar Harvi, which dealt, again, primarily with three parts. The names of Hashem in the beginning, Sefer Yetzirah in the middle, and then the dealing with the sciences, which so far he only dealt with astronomy. It's interesting when he talks here about medicine, the way he talks about it, so that we'll get to. Today is Monday, no, tomorrow. Today's Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. I'm sorry, I'm very confused these days. Tomorrow's Tuesday. So tomorrow, Yitzhak Hashem, we'll do it. So if we don't finish tomorrow, we'll finish tomorrow.